Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Ya'ina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. I just wanted to say hello to everyone. Today is going to be a very interesting topic, a very interesting show. We're expecting a lot of people to be on the show today to voice their opinion on some things that are going on in the news today. So, as usual, I am going to play a song for you, and I hope that you like the song that I am about to play. It is another one of my favorite songs, so here we go.
You can.
All right, shalom, shalom, everyone. We have a very special guest on our show today. I'm going to open the lines to my co-host, Brother Adonai. Brother Adonai, you want to introduce yourself?
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonai Ben Yehuda.
All right. He's calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I have a very special young lady on the show today. And I'm not going to hesitate, but I want to bring her right on. We want to talk about a very serious topic, and I'm going to let her do the announcing of the topic that we're going to talk about today, and I'm going to get it right on. Only, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Thank you, Sister Yaina, for inviting me on, and thank you for even answering the call to take on this topic. Today we're going to be talking about the pain that many of our dark-skinned Hebrew sisters are in our society here where we're scattered. And my name is Only Love, and I'm someone who has been writing and speaking and researching about colorism since about 1999 when I read the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, which is right in our Holy Scriptures, an incident of colorism. And I just want to open with that scripture, and it states, "I am black and comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept." And many times when this scripture is translated from the Hebrew to the English, it says, "I am dark but comely." But actually, if you study what the scripture says in the original Hebrew, it says, "I am black and comely," or "and lovely," which is a very different meaning. And I wanted to lift up the word, which is what we all, many of us on this call, stand on. And many of us on this call, and we have guests with us today, so I'll just explain that many of us are claiming our Hebrew heritage as black people that have been scattered here to America. And right in our Hebrew scriptures, we see an incident where a dark-skinned woman is being put down. And what Hebrews need to know is she wasn't saying, "O ye daughters of the Hittites, O ye daughters of the Moabites, O ye daughters of the Philistines," but she actually had to stand up against colorism and talk to the daughters of Jerusalem, because it was us as Hebrews that were doing this colorism in the scripture. And it's my belief that the scriptures have the answers for everything we're going through. And so right here in the Most High's word, we see that this color prejudice is not something that he is pleased with. And we also see that this color prejudice is something that us as Hebrews have been doing for a long time. And it's my belief that this color prejudice is leading us to take actions that are weakening us as a nation. The reason why we're doing this show today, and I would ask everyone to please keep this person's family and friends in prayer, is last weekend I received an article that has gone viral all over the internet that a 22-year-old black Hebrew woman at Morgan State, Karen Washington, killed herself. And she was an activist who started a website called For Brown Girls to stand up against colorism. And she also started Dark Skin Red Lips, a project that showcased dark-skinned women with red lipstick after ASAP Rocky, this rapper who sometimes dresses as a woman, said in media dark-skinned women can't wear red lipstick. And she was doing a lot on social media to uplift the dark-skinned woman. And she was absolutely gorgeous, very intelligent, an entrepreneur, someone who could have really helped to build our nation. If she was already doing this at 22, imagine what she would be doing at 32 and 42, and imagine what she could have done if she lived long enough to find out her Hebrew heritage. When I was 22, I didn't know my Hebrew heritage, and it makes such a difference to know it. But unfortunately, she took her life. And I just want to clarify that her friends and family are stepping forward saying that, you know, she didn't directly take her life because of colorism. Her mother passed away, and she was going through some mental illness. But it is also my belief, after studying colorism and having many Hebrew women open up to me about it, that her mother passing was probably the straw that broke the camel's back, but that colorism was also one of those straws on her back. She said her and her cousin started the website because they were having self-esteem issues due to colorism, and the weight of colorism is an added burden for dark-skinned Hebrew women on top of everything else that we're all going through as a scattered nation. And so I reached out to Sister Yaina because as someone who is younger, I am observing that many of the dark-skinned Hebrew women are suffering in silence. In addition to this, Sister Karen Washington, there was an earlier incident where a dark-skinned teenage girl posted a video on YouTube saying she was going and took pills on YouTube, took pills and said, I'm going to commit suicide on this video because I'm being picked on in school because of my complexion. I feel ugly. I'm being abused at home. And she literally took pills and put the video up on YouTube, and YouTube removed it, of course, and she is still alive. But this issue is not an isolated incident. Many Hebrew women who are dark-skinned have come to me very depressed, very sad, and they feel like no one is paying attention to their pain. And they're not the ones twerking online. They're not the loud and boisterous ones. They're just quietly fading away in our communities. And last week, I spoke to a lighter-skinned Hebrew woman about this, and she definitely agrees that colorism exists. And then she opened up to me about the fact that nowadays, if a Hebrew woman is light-skinned, but she has kinky hair and black features, people are saying, are putting her down. My friend was told at a party, you're a waste of light skin because she wears natural hair. I had another light-skinned friend tell me she was called light-skinned monkey because she's a light-skinned Hebrew woman, but she's not mixed. And I gave a talk on colorism last year in Brooklyn, and a light-skinned woman came up to me and said, men keep coming up to her saying, you would be beautiful if you just straightened your hair. So even today with colorism, I'm seeing that even the light-skinned Hebrew women are being persecuted because they're not mixed or from another nation. And also, dark-skinned Hebrew men have come to me talking about what they go through. And so we really need to take this issue seriously because we cannot rise as a nation if the next generation doesn't even want to live anymore or they feel that no one wants to build a family with them because of how they look. And many times when we speak about colorism, we keep it on a very petty basis, who's seen as attractive, who's not. But in my research, I've come across statistics that said darker-skinned women's prison sentences are 12% longer than their lighter-skinned counterparts. I have friends in the social service field who say when they go to homeless shelters or when they see homeless people on the street, they literally see more dark-skinned people. And lastly, anyone can look up the economist William Dougherty, who is a black Hebrew economist. He does extensive research on race and economics, and he did a whole article about how darker-skinned women are not getting married at the same rate as other women, and when they do, they're not getting viable partners. And so he has done many articles, which you can Google William Dougherty online. He's on Twitter. You can dialogue with him. That shows concrete proof that this is going on because many Hebrews want to put their head in the sand and say, this is not an issue, or maybe it's an issue for black people who don't know their Hebrew heritage. But for those of us who are conscious and we know we're Hebrews, that's not an issue. We believe the people in the Bible were black. We believe the Most High is black. We're good, but as I've come into the Hebrew community, I see much of the same colorism going on. And in the scriptures that I read, we see that this is wrong. The daughters and the sons of Jerusalem are not supposed to be doing this colorism. My fear is that it's going to actually weaken us as a nation spiritually and physically, because what colorism does is it leads people to not reproduce with their own nation. And the Most High said we have to stay within our nation. What I'm seeing in my peer group is many of these dark-skinned Hebrew women who don't have any knowledge of their heritage. They feel very rejected by their own. And then people from other nations affirm them, and they go and marry those people. And then what that does is it's very difficult now for that woman to step into her Hebrew heritage because she's linked up with another nation. We look and we judge her, but we don't know that that person made that decision after years of feeling ignored and abused by other people in their community. And so this is a very critical issue. For every Karen Washington we're going to hear about, there are so many others that we never hear about. And because I work in social work and do community organizing, I'm always with people, and the Most High has made it where people will open up to me in ways they won't open up to others. And I know that there are many dark-skinned Hebrew women who are in pain and suffering, and they don't feel valued within their own community, not to mention what they have to face when they deal with other nations. It would be easier for them to deal with the stuff you have to deal with from other nations if they knew that the nation they came from valued them. And some of the acting out you see with the twerking and with things like that are because some of the women are so desperate for affirmation. I have a friend who did research at Columbia School of Public Health on dark-skinned women and sexual health choices, and her research showed that when women are impacted by colorism, they don't make healthy sexual choices. They don't live virtuous because they feel like they're not worthy of those standards. And so this impacts so much of our community. And if we're going to really be the witnesses to let the scattered Hebrews know, those who are unconscious Israel, we're going to be the ones who let them know who they are. We cannot have this colorism in our midst. We have to stand up to this and be different and show that we believe black is beautiful, because the Most High's people are people of color. And that's just a little bit of what I wanted to share today, Sister Yaina.
Yes, ma'am. I think that you did a beautiful job. I think that your presentation is beautiful. This young lady is in her early 30s, am I correct?
Yes.
Articulated yourself very, very well, and I am so honored to have you on our show today. And I have a lot of people on the show, people that are from different Hebrew camps. We send a word out to all of the Hebrews across the nation to be able to be a part of the show today, because this is something that I feel we have to deal with. Anytime our young people come to us as elders and bring this to the table, it is our responsibility to open up the channels of communication so that we can try to find solutions, because there are a lot of things that are going on in our nation that is just unpermittable. It's just not acceptable. We cannot accept it. The nation of Yehuda will stand firm and stand tall with anyone who is coming up against this sort of behavior, because as I go through YouTube and I look at some of the YouTube clips of our own men, you know, their approach, the message we can kind of understand, but their approach, it borderlines on mental terrorism. It borderlines on psychological abuse. And you're not going, and then it makes me wonder if these people really realize the damage that they're doing in the way, in their presentation and how they present themselves. Our biggest issue that we have to deal with within our own nation is that we have to understand that the Most High created the black man and the black female, the kinky-haired black man and the kinky-haired female as each other's counterparts. Someone sent me an article last week where the gentleman was on the article and he said, and I'm going to pull it up real quick because I want to read it to you, because, of course, you know, I did my research and I always try to bring some information to the class so that we can bring it out in the open. But this particular brother said he felt like that he could create, because he was a brother mm-hmm. from Yehuda, from the tribe of Yehuda,
mm-hmm.
that he could pick any woman within the
mm-hmm.
12 tribes of Israel and
mm-hmm.
bypass the women of the tribe
mm-hmm.
of Yehuda and create and still create a child that was from the tribe of Yehuda. And I thought it was just ironic and just ignorant because you are doing your own ethnic cleansing of our race.
Yes.
And the Most High is not going to accept that. That is just ethnic cleansing within our own race of people. So I feel that we have a responsibility, not only to you all as young people, but to ourselves to say stop the foolishness, stop the abuse, stop the physical abuse, stop the psychological abuse. Love, if you can't come at it with love, then it's just a waste of time because it makes us wonder if you are really a part of nation building or have you been sent to sabotage because you will never win anyone. The scripture says a soft answer turns away wrath. And I understand the concept of crying loud and sparing not. I understand all that, but that is also, you also have to understand that we're all hurting. Everyone's hurt. The men are hurt. The women are hurt. Everyone's hurt. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to each other to be able to build each other up and not tear each other down. So I agree with you 100%. I wanted to take a moment and play this clip because I want you guys to hear it from someone else's perspective. And I won't play it all because it's kind of long. But I want you to hear what this gentleman has to say. And then I want to know what you all feel about this. Hold on one moment.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to CNN News, Celebrity Edition. I'm your host, Mr. Thomas Sotomayor. Today, we'd like to talk about noted blogger and creator of For Brown Girls, and if I'm not mistaken, the name of it is Dark Skin Red Lip Project. Now, ForBrownGirls.com, these are all websites created by the 22-year-old Karen Washington, who apparently took her life in a suicide. Karen Washington was one of the bloggers who tried to do a very good job of teaching dark-skinned black girls how to love themselves, as she was a dark-skinned black girl and wanted to show how you can love yourself. And it's sad for the community that she herself has taken her life after trying to give all this love to other people. And you can go on the website inside the description box to read about this. And we're also going to do a show tonight, and that show is going to be about the skin tone and all of this celeb, this fake, how can we put it? This fake self-esteem. We'll talk about that more on the show tonight, and about how the celebrity help, the internet helps foster that. But Ms. Washington apparently lost her battle with the self-esteem issue. Now, it's stated that she had mental issues before, and the internet has allowed everybody to be a expert at something. What I'm going to say is probably not going to sit well with people, but I only, every time I see an article and people send it to me, it's what's in my heart. And this was sent to me by Deidre Kane. And it's what's in my heart when I see it, and it's what I think. And here's what I want to say about this. We dark-skinned people spend a whole lot of our lives trying to find self-esteem because the people around us love to take it from us. I'm an internet guy, and I'm 38 years old. A man in his who's also 38 decided to make a video about me called Charcoal Boy, calling me Charcoal Boy. One man calling another man Boy, and the other man calling the other man Charcoal. Also, they spend an inordinate amount of time calling you black as hell. Somebody called me a Tar Baby today, and I'm still 38, and these are grown men calling me that. I had another guy who's supposed to be for the black community told me, He might have a burnt lip. I got a burnt body, which I never called a burnt lip. But it's cool because as black folks, one of the main things we like to do is put down black folks. The blacker you are, the worse you are. So these same black folks run around talking about how they mad at black folks for mixing race, but they love to make fun of dark-skinned people. And Karen Washington, just like many of us dark-skinned people, even though we're afraid to admit it, were treated pretty damn bad as children by our own parents. I remember hearing, sit your black ass down. All kind of looking like your black ass daddy. Remember all hearing all these kind of things. And what makes it even worse for Karen is she's a woman. And I tell people all the time, it's harder for a dark-skinned woman than a dark-skinned man. Because a dark-skinned man can get power by, all he got to do is just gain some kind of notoriety. He is now handsome. You name Wesley Snipes is handsome once he decided to get in the movies. You think Morris Chestnut is handsome once you see he got money. See, we had a way around it. The women didn't, though. Because men don't date women for their money, unless they like Terry McMillan banks. And then they call them gay. But men typically don't date women for their money like that. We're not trying to take something from them. So no matter how rich a dark-skinned girl gets, she's still dark-skinned and in most circles considered ugly. Which is why you see most of the dark-skinned girls always with the longest weave and the straightest perm and the bluest eyes and something to try to make them look exotic. Karen, even though she tried to uplift dark-skinned girls, here's the problem. Karen did like many other dark-skinned girls do. Karen made sure she took pictures that made her look lighter than she technically was. Karen also decided to make a website called forbrowngirls.com. Now, if they're brown, then what are Mexican girls, since they call themselves brown? I mean, you're just going to take a moniker from someone else. You're going to call yourself brown. And I understand if we don't want to call ourselves black, but black folks call you black. If Karen had stood up and did what I do, maybe Karen would have been able to fight her demons. This is my problem with black people, especially black women. Black women figure that every day of their life, they got to go around telling themselves that they're strong. Every time I hear a black woman tell me she's strong, I ignore her. A black woman who says she's strong is an idiot. Please take this and share it wherever you want. Any black woman that walks around and says she's strong just because she's black is an idiot. The moniker needs to stop. Because what it does is it gives us this false sense of self-esteem, self-worth, and then we go around the rest of the world trying to portray this lie, which means we can't be vulnerable to anyone. Now, people try to make fun of me because when I'm going through something, I post about it. Because it keeps me sane. It keeps me alive. It keeps me from taking my own life. I don't have to walk around acting like I know it all. And the majority of black people, we act like we know it all. That's why we all got blogs. That's why we all got fan pages. That's why we all whatever. Because we know it all. Nobody's vulnerable enough to not know it all. So if you want to wonder why I got so popular in a 3-year span, because I don't know it all.
All right, all right. Let's go to the phones. I want to hear what you have to say. These are, you know, when I started researching this, I came to realize that, you know, this is just not one isolated incident, that there are people out here that have these issues, these self-esteem issues because of the color of their skin, and we're not helping each other at all. I mean, the biggest problem that I see in the whole Hebrew-Israelite community as a whole is that I see us tearing each other down more than building each other up. I see the black man out there trying to regain his power within the community, but it's at the expense of tearing down the black woman. And we have to stop tearing each other down. We're going to have to start listening to each other. We're going to have to start loving each other. We're going to have to start helping each other. And I know it's difficult because we've had 400 years of indoctrination. We've had almost 400 years of assimilation into this nation where we are, and they do an excellent job at keeping their foot on our necks and creating an image that we all live up to. So, again, you know, I want to say to you only that I really, only love, I really appreciate you taking the time to come out on the show tonight and to really expressing how you feel, because I remember you told me that as being from Brooklyn, as a little kid, you always acknowledged the Hebrew Israelites. Could you please tell the audience about that experience?
Yes. In the way the Most High dealt with me as a little girl, I actually, my family was partially homeless while I was growing up. I was in foster care. And so the Most High really plucked me out of a difficult situation and revealed himself to me. So I kind of always knew as a little girl who the true Hebrews were, but unfortunately, growing up in New York City, I would pass different Hebrew camps, and it was so much negativity. Even if a sister asked a question for clarification, she would just get shut down, that growing up, I would just, you know, just walk past real quick and never engage. And so it took me being in my late 20s to even fully embrace my heritage, and part of that was a Hebrew brother stopping me in the street and giving me a flyer about Deuteronomy 28 in a very nice way. And so I'm all for zealousness and standing on the Most High's word, but it seems like with the Hebrew camps that the daughters of Judah get beaten down more than any of the other tribes of Hebrew women. And, you know, this whole thing out here where, and I wanted to say this, whenever we speak about colorism, we usually direct it towards the sisters. Build up your self-esteem, sisters. Get your hair natural. But we have to also start speaking to the brothers because we're not isolated. This sister Karen tried to build herself up, but we're all a community. It's not just for the sisters to have this self-esteem on their own. The brothers also have to begin to love their complexion, not just, you know, the sisters' complexions, but a lot of brothers have self-hatred that they put out on everyone else. And in some of the camps, this doctrine that you can produce a child from the tribe of Judah with anyone. She doesn't even have to be from one of the 12 tribes of Israel. She could just be from any nation. You know, when you study the scriptures and also when you study genetics, this is not so, and this is a deception. And one thing I wanted to say is the more I studied colorism, the more I saw the Luciferian agenda behind colorism and what is really the goal, because the refinement of white supremacy is when people of color do the white supremacy themselves, and the white supremacists don't even have to do it. What we don't understand is there is a particular work that the tribe of Judah still has to do. And so if we weaken ourselves as a tribe, that will not have spiritual level. Growing up in New York, I'm around what you some people call the Edomites, Esau, false Jews. I had to grow up around that all the time. Even today, Sister Yaina, you know, I have white rabbis around me, everything. What they will do in the media is they will make the black Hebrew man think the dark-skinned Hebrew woman is unattractive, and then those same people running the media will go out and they'll get a dark-skinned Hebrew woman. There are many of them in the media that if you live in New York or you live in near Hollywood, you know they have the darkest Hebrew woman they could find. You have to question yourself about that. Why are they making you as a Hebrew man think these women are less than, but then they're going and they're getting one of those women? Obama, President Obama even said in reference to Michelle Obama, whose uncle is Rabbi Sinni, who's one of the top Hebrew leaders in the country, Obama said, yeah, I got with Michelle because she has superior genes. And people thought it was a joke. He knows about her Hebrew heritage because her uncle is a very famous Hebrew rabbi. What I'm saying is they're putting this out in the media to separate the black man from the tribe of Judah from the black woman from the tribe of Judah. And then what they're doing is their sons are taking those women. I know many dark-skinned Hebrew women that now they're with other nations, and they waited a long time, and they just felt like they would never be loved for who they are. If you're in different parts of the country, you may not think this is going to happen. Usually what happens in New York in a generation happens in other places, and I'm trying to let especially the older people know what's going on with this younger generation. We can't allow ourselves to be weakened as a people. because it's going to have spiritual implications.
And I found the article that was on Facebook. Someone uploaded it to me, and it's by a person, I guess it's called Cold Spirit Nazarene, and he says, "Black women's only way of restoration is to be exterminated and rebuild through our seed with the females we have with other nations." So, you know, these are very serious things that are going on right now. This is what's going on Facebook. This is our own men talking. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's pretty serious, you know, that they have these. But then, like I said, it makes you wonder, because as I did research on the Garvey movement, Marcus Garvey, it showed even through that research that the government actually hired black people to actually go into his organization and infiltrate his organization to cause dissension, to cause problems, to cause segregation, to cause hatred between the people so that they could break it up. And sometimes mm-hmm. you wonder, with the brothers mm-hmm. that are on the street corner, when they approach our own people, what is your motive really? Because I understand freedom of speech. I have some brothers that I dearly, dearly, dearly do support that are street preachers. You know, but some of these groups have gone to the point where it's criminal. Some of their behavior is just criminal, to the point where not only are they dissing our black women and our dark-skinned sisters, but they are just borderlining on criminal behavior. So as a nation, we feel it's necessary that we bring these issues to the table so that we can be aware of the things that are going on. And I wanted to let you know, if you would like to comment in this question or on this show, please don't hesitate to push one. We would love to hear what you have to say. Now, there's a gentleman from Hebrew Today on the chat line, and he says, "I'm here in Los Angeles, West Hollywood. Very Jewish area. I have seen some of the Jewish men with dark-skinned women, but they have not been in the open, like on the down low." So, you know, there is a lot of ethnic cleansing going on, even on television. As much as you see mm-hmm. on the shows on television, very rarely do you see a black man and a black woman together mm-hmm. in a family unit. Mm-hmm. They have mm-hmm. just taken our race and split them up, mm-hmm. and you see the black woman with the white men and the mm-hmm. white men with the black women, and it's like, no, this is something that is completely not allowed in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. And where I'm at, it's in the open. It's not on the down low, but I understand what he's talking about, that aspect of it, but... You know, I'm bringing this up because it's very out in the open where I am.
Something has to be done. We have to identify these people, because abuse is abuse. And I'm not going to call any names, but there's one particular group. His brother is very loud. He's very boisterous, but he's abusive. And you know, even with his mannerism, he's abusive. And constantly does he say, "Women need to get in check. And you need to know your place. And the man is in charge." I mean, the whole concept is abusive. And I look at him like, who in the world would want to even be with you? Mm-hmm. Because love is what you need to do. I mean, love is what draws. And I don't even understand the women that would even promote this kind of behavior. It seems like we have a nation of people who just marry each other upon convenience, for whether it's for sexual purposes or whether it's for financial gain. But when I see the groups and they come together and they begin to talk, it makes me wonder, do you all really love each other, or is this just something that you've thrown together for convenience purposes? Because we promote love in the nation of Yehuda. We teach our young people to, yes, be chaste. We do not believe in sex before marriage, any of those things. But at the same time, there should be a love between a husband and a wife. And the way these guys, some of these men, are on this corners talking to our people, it makes me wonder if you are an informant for the government, if you're doing this on purpose.
Because mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. it's just unacceptable. I've never seen, under the guise of freedom of speech, they get a microphone and they get a speaker or amp, and they go out on the corners, and by the time we began to build our nation, most of the people that have come in contact with them have completely turned themselves off from the Hebrew Israelites. They say, I don't want to have anything to do with those people. Those people are crazy. And that's a terrible situation to be in, because we love our people and we're doing everything we can in our power to bring our people together, because we know, like you said, the men are hurting just like the women are hurting. And when the men and the women are hurting, the children are hurting. So there has to be a middle ground. We have to be able to lay our differences aside. Yeah, we know how the women look, and we're handling the women. We're dealing with the women and their cartoonish looks. And all the way, because they are a product of their environment, and for the most part, the images that they portray are the things that they see on television. We live in a society where we have movie stars and rap artists and stars, and these are, unfortunately, these are the people that our people look up to in terms of what they think is appropriate dress, appropriate behavior, appropriate everything, and we are doing everything in our power to combat that. We are putting things together right now to be able to combat that and come against that. But we have to start doing that in love, because you'll never win a woman with the negative stuff that's coming out of some of these people's mouths. We never will. So, you know, go ahead, I'm sorry, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, the best way to see more virtuous women is by magnifying virtuous women, because another thing that many dark-skinned Hebrew women have come to me with, and I'm saying Hebrew, many of them are unconscious Israel, but still acknowledging their birthright, they feel, and I've seen this in action because I'm very observant, you know, there are many virtuous dark-skinned women that are just ignored. People don't even know they're there. And then they focus on the negative women, and that's what we hear the preaching about, and that's what we see the YouTubing about, because maybe those women have a certain look. And so it's a frustration because they want a certain look and a certain behavior. You know, and we have to really be honest with ourselves and our hearts, because I can go back all the way to the church, which many of us are not a part of anymore, but they were black churches, and this is documented. If you are darker than the wood on the door, you cannot join. This is not something that a few sensitive, dark-skinned women are bringing up. This is statistics that have been studied, that this is an issue. And another thing people should research is implicit bias, where you have biases based on things like skin complexion that you don't even recognize. So you don't recognize that you're judging a dark-skinned Hebrew sister maybe more harshly than you are other women in the nation. And people can Google implicit bias skin test, and you can take a test online to show if you have a bias towards dark skin or light skin, and some of the results will surprise you. Many people say, oh, I just like what I like, but no, your preferences are being shaped by this culture. And I heard a testimony from a black Hebrew man who did not want black women. He was living in Alaska at the time. He realized he was dysfunctional, and he reprogrammed his mind through blocking out certain images, putting up other images, reading certain things, and he's happily married to a Hebrew woman now. And they're doing work for the community together, but he had to be honest with himself and deprogram himself. I think, you know, in Israel, there's a lot of people being dishonest with themselves and saying it's this, it's that, I don't like this, I don't, and really this colorism thing is playing a role. Even I think sometimes in the negativity towards the daughters of Judah, because I'm around all types of people, and I see dysfunction in all nations of women. I mean, I've been in a lot of different places with a lot of different people in close quarters, and these other nations, these women are not that nice, especially if you don't have certain things. So, you know, are we overlooking virtuous women because of this color thing has us blind? And also for the sisters, are we overlooking men of valor because this color thing has us blind? I was shocked when I did my colorism talk in Brooklyn It was the brothers who responded in question and answers. It was the brothers who asked me to come and do another interview online. And it's a lot of brothers in pain because of colorism. And then some of this negativity we see online, I know it's the brothers. It's usually, you know, even Tommy Sotomayor is a very dark-skinned brother. And, you know, sometimes they're giving out what was sown into them. And so even the sisters, we have to look at our own hearts and attitudes towards this issue as well.
I totally agree. And another thing, you know, we have to understand that the curse is very real and the Willie Lynch syndrome is very real, and we have to admit that they have given the black woman more opportunities than they have given the black man, and that it is very difficult for the black man to aspire to the status that we know he deserves to have. But at the same time, as being black women that are successful and being black women who have aspired to a certain amount of success, we cannot allow even the image of corporate America to shape us either, because, you know, if he's a good brother and he's, you know, and he's trying and he's a hard-working brother, sometimes, sisters, we have to really be realistic about the fact that we have been treated the way we have been treated, both male and female, and you have to give those brothers a chance. I mean, really, real time. I mean, because I've heard someone just say to me last night, well, most of the sisters that aspire to a certain level, they don't want a brother unless he's up there at the same level that you're at. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, we have a system that is making sure that doesn't happen. So at the same time, if he is a good brother, and I'm not saying he has to be rich, because if you work together, you can have anything together. I'm not saying that he has to have all of the accolades and all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. But if he is a good brother and he's an honorable brother and he's trying to make it, why not? I mean, I don't understand the whole issue with that either, because, you know, it's all going to the same place. And there's so many successful women, black women, that are alone because of the fact that they don't want to connect with the black men because they're not at the same status that they are. And they end up, like you said, going to the other races, marrying men of the other races, and having children of the other races, which is totally against the word.
And, I mean, honorable.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was saying, to be honest, what I'm seeing, they're not going to the other nations because of wealth or any of that. Some of them are going to the other nations because that's the only people talking to them. So I do know that segment of sisters that, you know, if a brother don't have XYZ, they're not even looking at them. I'm talking about a segment of sisters that don't have the weave in their hair, are not superficial. They're willing to build with people, and they're saying they're just not getting the attention. So I think what colorism does is it makes us judge each other harshly. So, you know, what I mean by judging each other harshly is, you know, if a brother is dark-skinned, then he has to have all these accolades and other things. If a sister is dark-skinned, then she has to be a perfect 10. And that's what I'm saying. The colorism thing is a tool of the enemy because it blinds us to good people. But more so than the marriage and the dating, is the colorism is even affecting people's ability to get jobs, and their statistics about that. It's also making, like, women, and I'm sure men, too, are serving longer prison sentences based on their complexion. A lot of dark-skinned Hebrew men have said, especially if they're tall, the police stop them more, and I know that is true. So even more so than the dating and the marriage, just the whole quality of people's lives. I do want to acknowledge those sisters that have maybe those delusional expectations, but I also want to acknowledge the sisters that are saying they don't have those expectations. They're just not being acknowledged in our community. Not every sister that is with another nation is there because she has these outrageous expectations. I've seen in my own personal life people that I didn't expect to go that way, and then they did, and they open up about how the issues of just waiting and waiting and, you know, nobody showing, you know, showing interest. So that's what is a lot of confusion in the whole situation.
Well, do you think that maybe it's because the brothers are afraid, because the brothers may feel intimidated because they can't measure up? I mean, you got to think there's a lot of psychological things going on. I'm not saying that the color issue is not there, but I'm saying from an older person and living life just a little bit longer and looking back in retrospect, a lot of times because we have the success that we have and we have the things that we have, some of the brothers don't feel like they're adequate enough to even approach you because they can't give you the things that, that they want to give you. Now, I'm saying in those cases. You know, and my issue with the brothers is, you know, I love my black men. I mean, I do. Light skin, black, I like them dark as they can get. That doesn't make me my issue, I'm serious, I like them blue black. It don't really matter to me. But my issue is we've got to take a stand and we've got to begin to live with some integrity. We've got to take a stand and we've got to begin to live with some righteousness, men and women. You know, and we've got to divorce all of this stereotypical behavior that we see all over the television, all over the housewives of Atlanta, the housewives of the basketball wives, all that foolishness. We need to divorce all of that foolishness and come back to the righteous people that we are because, you know, my uncle asked me something yesterday. We went out to lunch, my uncle and I, we were talking yesterday, and he asked me, he says, do you feel like that you would be able to submit, you know, because you've always been very independent and you've always been out there on your own. And I told him, I don't have a problem submitting. I don't think any black woman has a problem submitting. You know, we have been made to be the head of the household because the men have not been there. For whatever reason, and some of it is our fault, and some of it is their fault, and some of it is just society as a whole. But when you connect with someone, you have to know that that person lives righteous, because it's the righteousness of that person that makes you love that man to the point where you put your whole trust in him. You know that his decisions are sound, that the decision he makes for you all as a family is complete and sound. But most of the time, and I'm not stereotyping any of them, some of our men, I won't say most of the time, some of our men have lived life with committing game. I mean, everything's a game. You know, we're going to be slick over here. We're going to do this over here. We're going to do this over here. And, you know, and when you look at the whole picture of it all, you're saying, wait a minute, hold on. This is not the example that y'all wants us to lead. So as he begins to lead an example of a righteous man, of course, most women would love to sit back and go to work and bring the money home and be cute and paint their toenails and purr if that's what he wants. You know, whatever you want, but at the same time, you have to be righteous. Because most of the time, our black men, what we see is the main thing they want to ascribe to is being a pimp. And we, you know, and that's not anything to ascribe yourself to. I mean, but that's what society shows our men. That's what they show them. So, I mean, you know, we have a lot of work to do with our nation as a whole. As a whole nation, we have a lot of responsibilities, and we have to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere. And when all you see is our men, whether they make it in the sports arena or whether they make it in Hollywood or wherever they make it from, they bypass the black woman. They just walk over her. And it's like, I can marry whoever I want to marry. You can't tell me who to marry. Well, guess what? If you're Hebrew, the word dictates. The word is very clear about not mixing. But we can't teach that because the society that we live in is deliberately putting our whole nation into ethnic cleansing.
And I think before it's too, you know, many times the enemy, they make plans, not for this generation, but they're patient, they make plans for next generation. And so if we don't see things and address it early, it'll be 20 years down the line, and then we'll finally be realizing the results. I do think part of the curses is this division. There should be no reason why a Hebrew man is nervous about approaching a Hebrew woman, or a Hebrew woman is nervous around a Hebrew man, but because so many of us come from damaged homes, we don't even feel comfortable interacting with the opposite sex. And I just really think we have to, those of us who are conscious Israel, have to be wise to see what's going on. I think once conscious Israel starts having healthy families, that can be a witness to unconscious Israel, because many Hebrews may think that a lot of unconscious Israel is asleep and they're not watching them and they don't have suspicions about who the Hebrews are. But many unconscious Israel know in their heart who the Hebrews are, and they are watching the Hebrew Israelite community. Some people may watch for years before they show up to a camp. And so we also have to be mindful of how we're portraying the nation, especially if you're from the tribe of Judah. You're the leaders, you're the kings, you're supposed to be going out before the other tribes in battle. And so there's no room for the tribe of Judah to be spewing hatred and being disunified.
I understand. But I want to know your opinion on something. And this is a conversation that we're having today. This young lady is in her early 30s, and we're the elders. And she brought this to our attention, that it was very necessary for us to talk about this, because we have a responsibility to our youth to be able to bring some normalcy, to bring some clarity and some understanding, and to try to find some solutions. You know, because we have to do something, because our race will not be ethnically cleansed. The Most High will not allow you to be able to create babies with other women from other nations and say they are from the tribe of Yehuda. Yehuda is a black nation, and Yehuda is, Lord have mercy, hold on one moment. I'll play this real quick before I go there, but I want you to listen to this. It's about 2 minutes. Just give me 1 second, because I have two of them. Just a moment.
Himself and a radical religious person who is with the black Hebrews, and he just pleaded guilty to killing a four-year-old and a woman that he was living with. He killed the four-year-old because he thought he was gay. We have a local news report on this. Let's watch and we'll discuss. Klein says Jaden Higginbotham was the only child who lived with the group who wasn't fathered by Moses. Prosecutors say Moses told Sis to get rid of the boy and became angry when he heard Higginbotham hit another child on the bottom. Klein says based on the action, Moses believed four-year-old Higginbotham was homosexual.
In that religious belief of this organization, homosexuality was frowned upon.
Klein says Moses took Higginbotham to the garage, played the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew, and shot him.
So this isn't just about the kid being possibly gay. I don't even know what it means for a four-year-old to be gay. Of course, this guy's crazy. He's got the multiple women that he's living with. He believes he's a black Hebrew. And he's probably most upset that the kid is not his, and that creates some sort of problem for him in his.
Okay, now, that's one of them. Now, I want you to hear one more before we comment, because this is pretty serious. I mean, this is just, like I said, these behaviors are criminal behaviors now, and we cannot afford it. We just can't afford to have it, because if this is the image that we're going to give the nation, the world, we might as well just go home and call it a day. There's no need to come off the street corners, pack up, and let's go home. Something has got to be done to the way. Hold on one moment. I'm going to give you one more, because I want to play this one for you too. And because this is, it's gotten to the point now where people are really starting, and when I called the news station to even confront them about this article and to even be able to get an interview, they didn't want to hear anything I had to say, because, of course, they're portraying the black Hebrew Israelites as a crazy cult. Now, listen to this. Here we go.
You can see me. You said it loud. You told you were a murderer.
Emotions running high in a Durham courtroom today as a mother confronts her daughter's killer.
Now, Judge sentenced Peter Moses, leader of a cult group called the Black Hebrews, to two life sentences. Bianca Spinoza has the story from Durham.
Before he could hear his sentence for the 2010 murders of 4-year-old Jaden Higginbotham and 29-year-old Antoinetta McCoy, Moses first heard from McCoy's mother, Yvonne.
You didn't have to do all this. You didn't have to do this.
This is what investigators say happened in the home on Peartree Lane, that the women called Peter Moses Lord, that he had Antoinetta killed for trying to leave, and that he shot Jaden for showing signs of homosexuality.
You're going to have to live with this. You're not God.
His attorney says he suffered from bipolar disorder, which had gone undiagnosed. Yvonne McCoy's faith is helping her cope.
I look at him with more hurt than anything. Because I couldn't believe. This was like a nightmare, really and truly, that he would be so deceitful.
The judge told the courtroom these are some of the worst crimes he's seen in his career. Pete Moses' brother told us that he thinks that Moses should be in a hospital, not in prison.
Why they didn't do no psych evaluation on my brother? Why they didn't see that he tried to kill himself a couple of times after this? He'd been dealing with this since he was 10.
As Moses prepares to spend the rest of his life in prison, Yvonne McCoy says she hopes to one day be able to forgive him. But that day is not today. In Durham, Bianca Spinoza, WNCN News.
Okay, can you imagine? So what do you think about that?
I actually heard about that case shortly after I fully embraced the truth. And I know we're talking about colorism, but I think it's all connected because, like you said, I also agree that there are tares among the Hebrews, and their job is to discredit the movement because so many black people are waking up. People, as you alluded to, Marcus Garvey's organization, the UNIA, Hebrews actually wrote the constitution for the UNIA. They played a very crucial role, Rabbi Wentworth in Harlem. And J. Edgar Hoover, who was passing, he was actually part black, said he was going to prevent the rise of a black messiah. And so it's very critical what's going on in the movement because this will have consequences that will jeopardize the spirituality and the nationality of unconscious Israel. People are not going to want to link up with something where they feel like their children's lives will be in danger. And we can stand on the street corner and say, well, they're ignorant, they don't know the word, they just want to be in Christianity because they're dumb and they don't get it. We have to look at ourselves. A mother and a father is not going to put their child in danger. Why should they join a camp when this information is out there? And I think, like you said, it's just interesting to me that people can be arrested for peaceful protests, but they continuously let these camps go out publicly and say they're going to rape people, they're going to kill people. Don't you think they might be letting us get enough rope to hang ourselves? This is something that, you know, is not directly related to colorism, but is all the same thing in that is weakening the nation. And I listen to your show every week, and you all are talking about nation building and possibly going back home. How are we going to do that in this state? And I know the Most High can do anything, but some of this stuff is not going to come into the land. The Most High is not going to let us take certain things home.
No, I agree with you 100%. And again, if you have a question, a comment, or concern, please push 1. We would love to engage you in our conversation. This is a young woman, a young Hebrew Israelite woman, that's bringing some serious issues to the table, issues of colorism, issues of rejection from our own men, issues of dealing with ethnic cleansing within our own nation, where our men feel that they can do away with the daughters of Zion. And I want to serve you notice that that will never happen. The Most High has a special love for us. We will never go away. And it'll almost be like it was in the book of Nehemiah, when those men went after those other women. You know, the Most High was not pleased with that, and it did not go the way they thought it was going to go. So at some point, we're going to have to learn how to love each other. We're going to have to learn how to forgive. We're going to have to learn how to hug Instead of fuss, we're going to have to learn how to support instead of tear down. So these are the things that I feel that is important for us to realize as a nation, you know, that, you know, the whole colorism thing started in slavery. I mean, you know, the light-skinned people were allowed to go up in the house with master, while the black people had to be outside in the field picking the cotton. And all of the things that went on is things that they have used to put us against each other for years. For years. And again, I want to say to the sisters, you know, we can't be so overly educated and so overly polished and so overly intelligent to the point where we step over our black brothers that may be construction workers or may be ditch diggers or may have just a regular mediocre job, because these are our men. And this is what enforces our nation. And as long as he's honorable and he is an honorable mm-hmm. man and stands with mm-hmm. his family to support his family, mm-hmm. why not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, mm-hmm. at some point, we're going to have to bring back our the integrity of our people mm-hmm. and our men and support our own men and uplift our own men. I mean, and the mm-hmm. men are going to have to learn to love their women. It is just simple as that. You know, and we mm-hmm. cannot step over them anymore, because it is difficult enough for all of us. It is difficult for mm-hmm. all of us in this day and time. I don't care how educated you are, you're going to have issues with it. There are things in place to make mm-hmm. sure that our education level is limited, our success mm-hmm. rate is limited. But at the same time, we have to start back to building communities. We have mm-hmm. to start back to building examples for our children. Because if every person we see is married to another person from another nation, then our children are going to say, oh, well, that's what everybody's doing, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just not okay. It's not okay anymore. You know, and like I said, there's some good brothers out there. They may only make minimum wage. There's some good brothers out there that are striving to go to school and get trades and things like that are going on. You know, and some of our women have already educated. They already have homes that they own. They already have stock that they own. They already have all kinds of things that they're going on, you know, that are going on in their life where they're successful. Go get our black men. We cannot step over them, because guess what? Susie is going to open up the checkbook and make sure she grabs him if he's left alone.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, people can't step over the sisters that may not look like Beyonce. You know,
That's right.
The thing with the way the curse shows up for the women is they get superficial about money, but the way it shows up for men is they get superficial about a particular look, because there are
sisters
out there that don't care about all of that sparkle and glitter and gold and this and that, and they are more than willing to work with people where they're at, but they, you know, they may look like, they may not look exotic. That's a big thing, you know, for a lot of Hebrew brothers. They are very, you know, Karen Washington was gorgeous, but she didn't look like she was mixed with this and that and the other, and so we both sides have to have grace towards each other, because the curse shows up in different ways for men and women. They stop the men from being able to build financially, because they know that's key for a man, and they've also graded and hid the beauty of the Hebrew woman and even created things where we can't enhance our beauty as much in this culture as other cultures can.
Girl, look, we beautiful no matter what we do. I don't agree with that. We are beautiful no matter, you know what, and what gets me is some of the black men don't like kinky hair. Well, you might as well not like y'all, because I don't
mm-hmm.
know how you figure that, and it's clearly
mm-hmm.
states that his hair is like lamb's
mm-hmm.
wool,
mm-hmm.
and it's thick
mm-hmm.
as lamb's wool, and
mm-hmm.
for you not to like kinky hair, then you might as well not like y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Even I had to get to that point on Only Love, because you know,
mm-hmm.
we've been perming our hair for years, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
one day, you know, one of my sisters just said, that's it, I'm done, I'm not doing it anymore. And I kind of looked at her like, I don't know about that. You know, my hair is way
mm-hmm.
too nasty for that, for me to do that. And I had to think about it like, no, this is who you really are. You know, and if you don't
mm-hmm.
like yourself, then you're never
mm-hmm.
going to love yourself. And I just said,
mm-hmm.
forget it, I'm cutting it all off, I'm done with the perms, I'm not getting involved
mm-hmm.
with it anymore. And I went natural, and you know what, I love it. I
mm-hmm.
love it. Because
mm-hmm.
if I want to go straight, I can do it with
mm-hmm.
you.
Yep. And I wasn't saying that the Hebrew women weren't attractive. What I was saying in this culture, part of the curse is they hide it, they put it down, but everybody knows what the truth really is.
But guess what? Guess what, sweetheart? Even though they hide it and they put it down, they try to be like us. Every woman I know of the other nation, one nice big fat lip. They putting stuff in their lips to get it nice and fat.
A lot of plastic surgery in New York City and even in these low-income neighborhoods.
That's what I'm talking about.
A lot of brothers who know that, but a lot of people getting plastic surgery for the butts and everything, and they look like regular women just walking around. That, you know, but it's a lot of delusions going on.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know, everybody wants to have that brown skin. I mean, that caramel color skin, and they lay out in the sun and do all these things. And while we're hating ourselves, everybody else trying to look like us. So there's some beauty to it somewhere. We just don't see it in ourselves. And we've got to start. And, you know, I see a lot of black women dyeing their hair blonde. And, you know, and you and I had talked about that. When it gets into the Old Testament and it talks about a clean leper, that's one of the identifying markers of a clean leper is blonde hair.
Yes. Yes, that is one of the markers. You're making yourself look like a clean leper. I mean, on one hand, you can't get too frustrated with the brothers if you keep presenting this to them. It almost makes it look like you think you're less than. And, you know, the Most High has to deal with a lot of the sisters. You have to stand strong in who you are. I've never tried to bleach my skin. The Most High fixed it. So myself and a cousin, we started basically getting allergic to perm. So I had to go natural years before it was popular, but I thank the Most High for that, because when you stand in the beauty of who you are, people who are connected to the Most High will see you and will connect with you. And we also have to remember it's a remnant. You know,
it's
not the goal for every last Hebrew person to get over these things. I think if the remnant stands up and the remnant says we're not going to be for colorism, we're going to have strong families, everyone will take notice. I think, you know, they're waiting for the daughters and the sons of the Most High to be revealed in righteousness, not in mess, like those clips we heard.
That's right, absolutely. And you know what, it's a beautiful thing to have you and I on the conversation today, conversing with each other from one generation to the other. This young lady is in her early 30s. I mean, early 30s, and I have you by 20 years. So, you know, for us to be able to bring these two different generations together and to converse on these issues is a beautiful thing. And, you know, I don't hate anybody. I don't hate white women. I don't hate Chinese people. I don't hate anybody. I'm dealing primarily with our people because of the genocide that has been done and the psychological warfare that has been placed on our people. We have a responsibility to bring back the pride that our people used to have years ago. There was pride in being from a black nation and having a black family and raising black children. And now, you know, it's like they just opened up the floodgates and said, well, just do whatever you want to do. It's okay. You can love whoever you want to love and be with whoever you want to be with. And when you think about it, you know, it sounds prejudiced for us to make these kind of statements that we're not supposed to mix and we're not supposed to give our sons and our daughters to the other nations. But that's scripture. That is scripture for us. You know, so I, you know, from a scriptural standpoint, my responsibility is to be able to say, hey, we love our black men. You know, we just want you to stop hollering at us so much and start hugging us a little more, you know, because you can get a whole lot more. You know, because I love my black men. I do. I have never dated outside of my race. I have never gone outside of my race to date anyone because the attraction just has never been there. You know, I've always kept my eye. I've always had a single eye toward our black people. So, you know, from that standpoint, you know, you have to be able to build with those people who are willing to build. Some people have already done it And, you know, they're with their families, and we're not telling anybody to walk away from their family.
Mm-hmm.
If you mix with the other nations, we're not telling you to do that under any circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Shalom, shalom.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to comment, and then I got to walk away from the phone for a minute. First of all, I wanted to tell the sister I understand, and I think that's very you have an abundance of courage for coming out and being able to expound on these things. And what I would like to say is that now that's supposed to give us an opportunity, those that know themselves, to start standing up for the name of the Almighty. You understand? We know that these people are not doing this in righteousness. So
mm-hmm.
we have to be the righteous seed, the righteous portion, and bring them people out and start doing something about it. That organization that young lady set up, you understand, somebody from our group here need to go in there and start working with them pit folks and make it profound. Make it known. Make it out there so that people can get some help, you understand, when they need it. You understand? That is we can't just keep letting these things fall through the cracks. Mm-hmm. You understand? We got to speak out when it's necessary for us to speak out on these things and start building the things that we necessarily need. Now one thing that I'm finding out here is that we as Hebrew Israelites, in gathering ourselves
mm-hmm.
as a nation, we have to start putting things in place. We need mm-hmm. the judges. We need the International Council of Elders. You understand? So that when these issues come up, they got a place to go to, and maybe we can resolve some of these things. You understand? But mm-hmm. long as we leave out all of these things, we're not going to come together as a nation and go home if we don't set up things here. You understand? Because when we go back to the land, you understand, we got to have things in place. We can't be helter-skelter. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Or otherwise, we're going to be back in captivity, or some of us, because the Almighty ain't going to let it happen. But
mm-hmm.
but we got to start doing something for us. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We got to start putting things together for us. You understand what I'm saying? The curse is still viable. Although the Almighty
mm-hmm.
said through Zephaniah that he was going to return the captivity right before our eyes, he's doing that. We are our worst enemy at this point.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And so what we need to do here, you understand, is start going to trying to get a sisterhood. Get
mm-hmm.
them issues, yeah, write them down, you understand? If you can't solve them, then you write them down, you understand, and we bring them to the brotherhood. The brotherhood
mm-hmm.
is supposed to work with those
mm-hmm.
situations. See, if the sisters are crying out, you understand, there's a problem there. There's a problem, and it needs to be worked on. You understand? We just can't sit back and say, see, I see it as being a problem. I've seen it for years. You understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? But I was never at this particular point in my growth in the scriptures in Israel, you understand, where I could say anything and it meant anything. You understand? Although my stuff might not be all correct, but together we can fix these things. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, you understand? So, and those guys that's doing all of that stuff, man, you think that the Almighty going to let them get away? No. He ain't going to do that.
No. Nope.
Not going to
nope.
do that. You understand what I'm saying? If we do things in righteousness, the Almighty will show favor and grant us this and make it flourish. So, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be done, but we got to start somewhere. This right here was a starting point. This is a kickoff thing, you understand, where we putting it out there, you understand, and we get these sisters and brothers together, you understand, and so let's work on these things and fix them, because we can't go to Israel like this. Oh, no. Hallelujah. And I got to step away from the phone.
Okay. I wanted to say something to you, Only Love, and I wanted to say something to our listening audiences, because we don't want to come across as though we are prejudiced. And a lot of people will be like, well, it sounds like you're prejudiced to me and that you really don't care, you know, that you guys are prejudiced. And you no, we have scriptures. We have a law that we live by. We have a book that governs us as a people, as the Hebrew Israelite nation. And I usually don't read scriptures on the line, but I think this is very viable to what we're talking about. And it's Ezra chapter 9, and it's, I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abomination. Even of the, now he's going to name the nations, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. Now listen to what he says. He said, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed has mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers have been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the word of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished unto the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O God, I am ashamed and blessed to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up into the heavens. Since the days of our fathers, we have been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities, we have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, to confusion of faith, as it is to this day. And now, for a little space grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving of our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God has not forsaken us in our bondage and has extended mercy unto us in the sight of the king of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God and to repair the desolation thereof and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandment, which thou hast commanded by thy servant the prophet, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with filthiness of the people of the land, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. He said, now for therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance for your children forever. So the Most High has always commanded us not to mix our seed with the other people in the other land. And now we face with being in this captivity where we are now, and it is so prevalent that it is just open for everyone to do it, and it's okay for the people to do it. Now, some of these people who are doing this may not know that they're Israel, but we're addressing the people who do know who they are and are deliberately doing this because they're trying to ethnically cleanse our race. I have someone that pushed one, and we're going to open up the mic to them. Area code 706, go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, my name is Ruchay Mack from Thompson, Georgia. I've been listening to your show today. A lot of problems what we got going on now is everybody should know by now that it's a curse. We're under a curse, and this is the reason why we got things going on over here, because there's confusion in the land, and there's no truth. There's no truth going on, and you know, and I know you might disagree with me, and I might disagree with you, but you know, I don't think y'all said that you couldn't race mix. He never really said that. Now you got to be careful what you read in the book. And see, this is the problem sometimes when people sitting out here doing this stuff, and if you're not putting it out right, then you're adding to the problem. the Most High God never really said that you couldn't go into another nation and marry them. And that's the way you might interpret it, but I look at it a different way. You know, people talking about they seen Yah, his hand, this and that. They ain't never seen no Yah because he said he will not give his glory to another. So you're never going to see Yah, but you know that he is the creator. You know he exists, but you're not going to see him. And that's the problem, girl, because we got confusion in the land, stuff not being put out right. And what Israel needs to do as a nation is understand, accept this curse, repent, and turn back to Yah, and then Yah will take care of the rest.
And I agree with the caller 100%, but we just read in the scriptures where the scriptures just told us not to mix our seeds. So, again, we have brothers and sisters who decide mm-hmm. to believe what they want to believe, irregardless of mm-hmm. what the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
There's no interpretation on that particular chapter. It was clear when he gives you scriptures that says do not mix your seed, that people still can say, I don't see nothing wrong with mixing the races. There's nowhere in the Bible that Yah says you can't. We just read it to you. We just read the scripture to you. And again, this is Israel. This is not someone who is not aware of who they are. This is someone from Israel that has, it's a perfect example of what we're talking about. They refuse to believe what the scripture says, and they do whatever they want to do. And in the same breath, they say, oh, we just need to repent because the curse. No, this is a part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly the problem that we're just talking about. I'm glad the brother was gracious enough to push one because he has just reiterated exactly what we were talking about. We just read it to you. We just read it, Ezra chapter 9. Verse 1 all the way down to verse 12. All the way down. So, I mean, you know, we can go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I won't read the whole verse, but we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we're going to read verse number 3. It says, neither shalt thou make marriage with them. Thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor shalt thou take the daughters unto thy son. For they will turn away thy sons from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. So the Most High does not want our seeds to be mixed. But the brother just don't want to believe it. They feel like we can do whatever we want to do just so long as our seed creates children of the Most High. So, I mean, you know, only I'm just, you know, all I'm saying mm-hmm. is today, these are the things that we deal with, you know, and not only that, they want to make excuses for their behavior. They read it in black and white. They see it mm-hmm. right there, and they still try to defend their position. And like they said, that's not a part of the remnant because the remnant is going to preserve the seed. I mean, I even know brothers that came mm-hmm. into the knowledge of who they were married to the women of the other nation and couldn't be married to them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They said, it's just not the same. Once mm-hmm. I found out who I was, it's just not the same. Now, I don't condone that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I wish at all, mm-hmm. at all costs, if there's a way you could work it out. But at the same time, you know, they brought this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these brothers just want to be with these women. They have been indoctrinated for so long. They've watched it for so long. And they want to make excuses for their behavior. And there is none. The scriptures is clear about that.
And I think, you know, you touched on this in previous shows in the summertime months ago. But it might be helpful to even go through, you know, the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent, and maybe you read it plainly in the scripture, but I think a lot of us as Hebrews really need to understand why the Most High was so strict about certain things and why if you are a messianic believer, and I know not everyone on the line is, but, you know, they gave the genealogies. Of Yahshua, Yahawashah, they gave the genealogies, and even when it says Noah was perfect,
it wasn't really talking about morally perfect. If you look in the Hebrew, it's talking about perfect in his generations, meaning he had that line of Shem. So I am not prejudiced at all. It's really not about being prejudiced. It's more about us preserving our spiritual heritage. What other people from other nations do, I don't really pay attention to, but we still have work that we have to do. We still have to bring forth those children that may be anointed to help us get to the next level, get back to the land. It's deeper than what I like, what my preference is, what I want to do. It's about where our nation is going spiritually. Because when you mix everything up, you're mixing up spiritual lines too. And it's not about being prejudiced. It's just about doing what the Most High plainly said. If we can't do what he plainly said, how are we going to debate these other issues where it's not as clear?
That's true. And if it was okay to mix, then why even make nations different nations? We were a chosen nation, a special nation unto the Most High himself, and we were privileged to his knowledge and only his knowledge. So when you start to talking, like you said, about the serpent seed and about the Nephilim seed and about the human seed and all of those things, you know, we have to understand that we have a responsibility to try to keep our seed as pure as possible. And some things can't be helped because of the curse, because of slavery, because of what happened to us in slavery. So there's a lot of things that we have to deal with, and we have another caller here, area code 310. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, Mrs. This is I'm the Hebrew Today. I wasn't able to call in earlier because I didn't have a phone, but I just wanted to say I'm the guy who was just talking about how the brothers and sisters coming together and what I wanted to comment about was really how strong the curse is and how it affects us. And as a brother who I can't say that I say I've been indoctrinated into this system, this whole, you know, I used to hate myself, you know, and since my awakening, I really recognize and see the error and all the choices and decisions I made thinking it's okay to be around my white brothers, and, you know, and it's not about hate. I mean, I grew up with them. So it's not, for me, it can never be about hate because I'm not a hateful person. I can see some horrible things that they do to us, and they constantly do. But you know, I can forgive that, and I want to work on me. If I work on me and understand who I'm supposed to be and get with the right sister I'm supposed to be, then that's my whole purpose in life. That's my purpose is to do that. See, we've been taught that it's okay for us to do whatever we want to do. It's our choice. But see, we don't own our own bodies. We belong to the Most High. We are to offer ourselves, our body, as reasonable service to our gods. So that is why, you know, everything tells you, that's why it's so difficult for us as a people, because everything tells us to do opposite of what we're supposed to do. And we think it's because it's reinforced, it's okay to go along and get along, be one of the herd. But, you know, that's why only a third of us is going to make it. And I have a little inside knowledge. I do know that the new nation has been already. There are new children in the new nation, so I have some inside knowledge, but I'm not supposed to be speaking on that. So what I do know is that women, the Lord said, women shall, behold, I make something new. Women shall encompass a man. So the new things will come from a woman. That's all I want to say.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Thank you so much for calling, and we appreciate you being on the show. And just like the brother said, you know, when you know better, you do better. I mean, because one thing that we were supposed to be, we were mandated by the Most High to be a separate people. We were told to be a separate people, separate ourselves from the other nations, because we were a special people unto himself, that we were a chosen people. We were the apple of his eye. He created us to be separate and apart from all the other nations. And that he said, no other nation have I known. Jacob have I only known, and no other nation have I given my laws and my statutes to. So when we begin to bring other nations that serve other gods, because these people don't realize that these people from these other nations serve other deities. They did then, and they still do now. And when we bring these other nations into the nation of Yehuda or into the nation of Israel, they bring their gods with them, just like Solomon did when he married all of those wives from those different nations. They brought their gods in, and they started to water down his belief. And eventually he did the most damning thing that he could do. He began to worship the gods of his women, trying to appease his wife. The Most High is perfect in his execution. He chose us to be separate from everyone else. He told us not to mingle with the other nations. And even with the nation of Ham, we're not to marry Africans. We are not to marry Ethiopians. They are not a part of our nation. They're not a part of our nation. We are a special nation set apart from everybody else. And when we get these brothers that come on here saying, y'all ain't never told us we couldn't marry other people, you are not teaching them right. No, it's exactly what he told us. That is exactly what he told us. And I can take you through verse by verse where he tells us that we are to separate ourselves, that we are a special breed unto ourselves. We are not to mingle. And he even names the nations. He named them. He named them specifically, the same nations we just named, and because of the lack of teaching of the people who become Hebrews, that they don't understand who the Hittites are and who the Gergesites are and who the Amorites are and who the Canaanites are. Those, the Canaanites is the African Ham.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand who the Perizzites are and the Hivites and the Jebusites. All they see is beautiful long black hair, they think, or beautiful long blonde hair, they think, and oh, she's pretty. And then they bring her into the nation, and then all of a sudden, just like the Most High said, he said those things that he didn't want you to do, you end up doing because you end up taking on the culture of who you're married to. But the one thing, and let me share this with you, the Most High set a principle in place in the Garden of Eden. He said everything has to produce after its own kind. You can't change that principle. We were chosen to be a special people unto himself. You know, and we have a lot of people on this line, and this is a beautiful thing that people are beginning to listen, but we've got to talk about it. We've got to talk about all of those things. We're not supposed to do nothing with Egypt. We're not supposed to be a part of that. They have their own God. And I see all of these people running around, black people coming today from Egypt and the Egypt Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I told all the Hebrews, leave them alone. They very well might be. But you can't tell mm-hmm. me who I am. So, you know, we get to the point where, like you said, it's a remnant only, love. It's only a remnant that's going to make it. It's only a remnant of people that are going to make it. But we are not supposed to mix. So, I mean, you know, that's where I'm at, you know, with it. And it's an issue because, you know, we have a lot of stuff going on in our nation, just like we read about the young man just a few minutes ago who killed the girl. He had multiple wives, and, you know, all of it is just unattractive. Mm-hmm. It's just unattractive because, like mm-hmm. I said, there's not a lot of love going on, you know, because, like I said, Jacob loved Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
He loved Rachel. He worked 7 years for that girl. He loved her. And when he got stuck with Leah, he worked 7 more to get Rachel. You just don't see that in the community anymore. Everybody's marrying because of convenience or marrying mm-hmm. because of a financial or economic gain.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it's a lot of things, but to the black sisters with the black skin and the black brothers with the black skin, I think you are absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think you are beautiful.
And the word says you're dark and lovely, so that we have to stand on the word of the Most High above anything else. And Sister Yaina, I have to go and tend to some family things, but I wanted to thank you for quickly responding to what I sent you about the Sister Karen Washington that took her life. And I would just ask everyone to pray for her family and her friends and for the people involved in her organization, that if they are Hebrew, they would wake up to their heritage and that her death wouldn't be in vain. And I want to thank you for inviting me on the show to talk about this issue. And though there may be a lot of discouragement going on in the nation, I do know, especially with the younger generation, we're waking up to who we are, and I do believe that, you know, more is going to hit us as we wake up, but what the Most High said is going to happen. And so, though I do get discouraged, of course, no one wants to hear about a sister taking her life. I remember that ultimately we will be back in our land, and we, you know, the remnant will know who they are. And so I want to just thank you again for taking on this issue, especially for the sisters.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what I want you to say? I have a few things I want to say to you. You stay strong, you stay black, you stay beautiful, and you know what? And as long as you love the Most High, and He's going to continue to stay with you, and you know what? Don't let anyone make you feel like you're less than because your skin is black. Because the blacker the skin, the beautiful you are. I love my black brothers, especially my black brothers. The blacker they are, I just love it. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, it's just a pet peeve of mine that I have, but, you know, it's just the way it is. But you stay strong, and like I said, we're happy to have you with the Nation of Yehuda. This young lady is out of Brooklyn, New York. We're setting up some things to do together with her. We're going to put an organization together for the young women and the old women to bridge the gap together so that we can build ourselves strong and be beautiful. And I look forward to that, only love. And I will be talking to you later on this evening, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, and thank you, everyone. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. All right, this our young sister has made a serious impact on us, and we are very, very, very proud of her. And you know what? We are very proud to be black people today. We are not ashamed. We're very proud to be beautiful black women with kinky black hair, and some people call us nappy-headed sisters, but guess what? We are the nappy-headed daughters of Zion, and we love ourselves, and there's nothing you can do to not make us, because we have the big hips and the big lips, and the big voluptuous figures, and we are absolutely gorgeous. We always have been. We always will be. And no matter what you say, like you said, lovely locks. Some of them have lovely locks. We all are gorgeous. And no matter, and we know we're gorgeous because every nation is consistently trying to imitate us. While they put us down, they are consistently trying to imitate us, and they want to be us. And the sad part about it is that we have our own brothers who don't even understand the fact that they are trying to be us. And if you want to know some more information about not mixing, go to Hosea chapter 5, verse 7. Hosea rebuked the house of Israel for going against the command of Yah and bearing strange children. And he said, they have dealt treacherously against God, for they have begotten strange children with the women of the other nations. So we cannot. We are a special people unto himself, set aside. We cannot. We are not permitted. I don't care what you say, but if you do it, and you do it unwillingly, and you don't know, that's one thing. But for you to justify ethnically cleansing our race, we got a serious problem going on, and we will identify you as a traitor and informant because you cannot be a part of the remnant if you don't understand the beautifulness of being black, being comely, and being lovely. We love ourselves, and no one can change that. No one can take that from us. No one will ever be able to do that because we hold a very special place. Our men are strong, and our women are strong. And if I'm bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, then I'm supposed to be just as strong as you are, but I'm just as soft and just as sexy and just as loving as you need me to be. But at the same time, you got to love me. You can't bully me into loving you. You have to love me. So these are the things that we have to do. We have to be able to say that to ourselves and say that to our men. And again, to the sisters, if you made it in this time, in this terrible time, in this curse, if you've arrived at a certain status at a certain level, go get our brothers. Don't let the other women from the other nations get our brothers, because guess what? Susie's going to get him. She's going to clean him up, dress him up, give him a car, give him everything until he builds up his self-esteem. And then he's going to work for Susie, and you're going to be mad. You're going to get mad. So go get our brothers. Don't leave our brothers out there like that because they don't have, because there's a curse against our brothers to keep them from rising to the occasion that we know they can. But the curse is reversing, and we are going back to our own land, and we're going to be able to be the people that we have been called to be in these last days. So it's a beautiful thing. And this is beautiful. All of this conversation is beautiful because guess what? We're not the Black Housewives of Atlanta or the love and hip-hop and all of the craziness and fighting and scratching and calling each other bees on television and fighting and doing all that stuff. We are the royal house of King David. We are the Hebrew Israelites, the chosen nation of the Most High, and we conduct and carry ourselves that way. We are not ashamed of who we are and what we stand for and what we believe in. We're not ashamed of our kinky hair and our big hips and our big lips and our voluptuous frame. We're not ashamed of that. We love who we are. We love our men, no matter how, what they've gone through or what they're lacking or what they don't have or how they won't allow them to be as successful as we need them to be. But guess what? We're going to be there, and we're going to support one another, and we're going to lift one another up. That's the language we speak at the nation of Yehuda. We don't tear each other down. We love each other to life. You know, and I just want you all to know, you know, that we're going to love each other no matter what. No matter what. So for all the haters that's on the corners, hooping and hollering and screaming, we're going to identify you as an informant. We are just going to have to do that because you're not on the team. We need you to get on the team. This is a team effort, and we need everybody to be on the team. Brother Adonai, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. Yes, I am.
You got any comments you want to make?
No, not really. I just wanted to let everybody know that, you understand, we have to establish ourselves. We have to reestablish ourselves as Hebrew Israelites, and we have to make certain moves regarding that young lady's program to get her stuff up and running. You understand? So that we can save some of our children, man. Those are our children, man. We don't have any alternative. We was left on this earth so that we can establish the house of Israel. And if we don't do that, we in breach of the scripture. You understand? This is our job. You understand? The Almighty got a job in straightening out all of those nations that kept us captive. That's his job. That's not ours. You understand? And one thing that I know is that we're contributing to our own demise if we continuously allow those things to go on and don't say nothing about them. You understand? So we got to start doing something, you understand, that's going to uplift our name, you understand, in the earth. Righteousness is our name, actually. You understand? We the salvation to the whole world, and the Almighty is our salvation. So we got to do that, man.
Yes, sir. I agree with you 100%. Like you said, we have an organization that we're putting together with the Nation of Yehuda, and we encourage every black woman to come to the organization. Please email us at the Yehuda Project. Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, Project, P-R-O-J-E-C-T, @gmail.com. We need every black woman from all walks of life to come on this program so we can start re-identifying ourselves and rebuilding our image as the beautiful women that we are. You know, if you want to wear the weave, you can wear it, but our hair is beautiful. We need to stop being ashamed of who we are. We need to stop being ashamed of the texture of hair that the Most High gave us. We need to stop being ashamed of it because if we want to wear it kinky, we can. If we want to wear it straight, we put a little heat on it, it's straight, and it's beautiful, and it's gorgeous. And you know what? We have to start believing in ourselves and teaching our young women and showing them that there is a whole other way. We're trying to put together a reality show for black Hebrew women to come against all of those crazy shows that we see on television with the women cussing and fighting each other and kicking and screaming at each other and show a different image to our young women so that is not all that they see. We have a lot of avenues open to us, and we need people that have media experience and those who can actually film this stuff for us and put things together for us. There's a lot of things that we're going to start doing to come up against all this negativity and throw that black woman's face back out there so that they can be seen and we don't see interracial relationships and interracial marriages and interracial children and all that kind of stuff, and that's all they see. We will put this stuff on there as much as we can. We have the internet. We have YouTube. We have all kind of things made available to us. We can even make DVDs and send them to you so you can show your children if necessary. There's ways around the powers that be. So we can do all we can do. We can do everything in our power to come up against all this negativity because it's done purposely. It's done purposely so that they can eradicate us so that we don't exist. So that when our little boys grow up, they are attracted to blonde-haired women. And we're going to stop that because, like I told my son, I want you to bring some women in the house that look like me. That's just, I'm sorry, but that's just what the scripture said. That's what we teach. That's what we do. And that's how we do it because we're on our way home. And we're taking our children back home to our land. And then we're going to be able to live righteously in our own land. And we're going to be able to do it the way that it needs to be done. And the Most High never intended for other women from the other nations to be put over the daughters of Zion. That has never been his intention. So understanding that and understanding who we are and what we need to do, we have to band together. We have to come together and begin to love one another and make this thing work. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it, people. All we have to do is just try. Nothing beats a failure but a try. So I just wanted to take a moment to say that. Don't forget our website that we have available to you. It is www.noymoarch.us, noymonarch.us. I will put it up on the chat line again for those that are on the chat line for you to be able to go to it. And I have enjoyed all of the brothers and sisters that are on the chat line. We need you to help us build the nation of Yehuda. Hebrew Today, thank you so much for attending our show. We would love to connect with you and actually put your information on our website so that we can inform people that you're actually out there. You know, we want you to be a part of our building the nation of Yehuda. We have positions open that are virtual. We're all across the country. We have Christians, Hebrews, Muslims that have come together and say, hey, let's build this nation of Yehuda and let's get this thing going so that we can have a righteous organization in the earth. Our children can come together. My son is very involved in the sports. He's getting ready to create a sports team for our Hebrew Israelite boys so that they can play basketball and football. And we're going to have leagues going across the camps where we don't actually do this on the Shabbat, but that we have to, we're doing all kind of stuff with the Nation of Yehuda, and we need as much help as we can get. Please email me at theyehudaproject@gmail.com. Give us your information. The other sister that was on there, Sister Bass, we would love for you to be a part of it as well. We need everybody to come aboard and help us to build this nation so we can present something positive, because the only way you come up against negative is to bring something positive, and that when the masses wake up, they will come and they will roll up their sleeves and they will bring time, talent, and treasures with them so that we can make this happen, because we are not a terrorist group. We are not domestic terrorists. We are the original Hebrew Israelite people of the scriptures, of the royal house of King David, of the 12 tribes of Yaakov that are in this captivity, and we are making preparations to take ourselves and our children home. So we have to leave a foundation. We have to lay a legacy. We have to give them history, and we have to make sure that they have a solid foundation. And that is what we're doing. Don't forget all of those that are my board members. We're having a meeting today after the show at 6:30 for a few minutes so that we can go over a few things. And then once we do that, we will definitely be gone for this evening. We thank you guys so much for attending our show, and we'll say shalom, shalom. And again, don't forget to give us an email at theyehudaproject@gmail.com if you would like to help us with our show. And here we go, you guys.
By railway, if I stray away, you can reach me on an airplane. You can reach me with your mind. You can reach me by caravan, cross the desert like an errand man. I don't care how you get here, just get here if you can. You can reach me by sailboat, climb a train, swing rope to rope, take a sled and fly down slow into these arms of mine. You can jump on a speedy coast, cross the border in a blaze of rope. I don't care how you get here, just get here if you can. There are hills and mountains between us, always something to get over. If I had my way, surely you would be closer. I need you closer.
Favorite songs, and you know what, I think this has been a beautiful show. We've made some beautiful connections, and we love all of our people, and we just want you to know that we need you. We need as much help as we can get. The nation of Yehuda, the royal house of King David, the organizations that we're building, we need our men and our women, and we're going to build our nation one person at a time, and we're going to build our communities and our families back together the way the Most High intended us to do so. And upon that note, if this is it, we want to say we love you. Shalom, shalom, everybody. And I know Hebrew Today is typing something, and I'm waiting to see what it is. And I'm giving the website address again. I'm going to put it on the board. It is www.noymonarch.us.
and that is our website, www.noym, as in Mary, O as in Oscar, N as in Nancy, A as in Apple, R as in Rachel, C as in Charlie, H as in Harry, .us, www.noy for Nation of Yehuda, Monarch, M-O-N-A-R-C-H, .us. We'd love to have you. We have positions available. Go on the website, view it. Let us know if there's something that you would like to help us to do. We're looking for an editor for the Yehuda Project and also Hebrew Today. We need your help. We need all the help we can get because we're going to build this nation one person, one community, one nation at a time. We love you, everybody. Shalom, shalom. We love you. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.